May it please the court, my name is Maurice James Salem. I represent the appellant plaintiff in this case, counsel. Your honors, in this case, my client, as a plaintiff, had an order entered against it for default on the main claim and default on a counterclaim. The lower court, on page 9 of its decision, concluded that it secured jurisdiction against
you. Are you still claiming to have talked to 50 to 100 lawyers about representing Tradewell?
Your Honor, what I presented was 10 attorneys in documents. In this building, I'm here 2 to 3 times a week. And in motion calls and on the second floor, Your Honor, passingly, while the appeal was pending, I asked every attorney I know and attorneys I don't know to cover the case for me while the appeal was pending. And Your Honor, as I explained, initially the Wisconsin attorneys that I attempted to seek, I mean, they said, yes, we want it. I emailed them everything. After they reviewed it, they rejected it. Those were the first about 10 or 11 of them. And I did that sequentially, so that took up time. And then eventually, here on the second floor and in motion calls, I explain everything to the attorney. I say, listen, here's what happened in Wisconsin. Are you willing to take it? Even though the attorney's not admitted there, I ask him to do it on pro hac vice or get admitted there because I was desperate to get somebody to cover. I think it's reasonable to believe that an attorney would be intimidated or concerned when a judge holds an attorney in contempt for filing a lien, removes him from the case, and invites the defendant to file a counterclaim. The anger in that decision, Your Honor, was also seen by your colleague, Judge Wood. She, in her decision, said she didn't know what made the judge so angry. So if Judge Wood sees the anger there, then it's reasonable to assume that most attorneys will see the anger there, and they would fear taking on such a case. So but Your Honor, whether you agree with that or not, on page 9 of the lower court's decision, he concludes that he had jurisdiction on the basis of Rule 5. I submit to you that with respect to a corporation, Rule 5 presumes that the corporation is represented by counsel. Unlike an individual, a corporation can't be pro se. So if you read Rule 5, you'll see that with respect to the corporation, there's a presumption that corporation is represented by counsel. But in this case, it was not. And therefore, I disagree with the lower court saying that Rule 5 on page 9 secures personal jurisdiction. In fact, they didn't have jurisdiction to serve the counterclaim while the appeal was pending. Now, the other thing that concerns me, and I invite the court to thoroughly search through the record, there is absolutely no fact presented, no evidence, no allegations to contradict any of the evidence I submitted with respect to the documented counsels that I spoke with in Madison, with respect to the attorneys I spoke with here, Your Honors. There is nothing in the record that contradicts the efforts that I made and that also agents of Tradewell made and everything to obtain counsel.
Well, the judge was very skeptical about your claim to have talked to 50 to 100 lawyers.
Well, as I said, that came after I presented the 10 documented attorneys that I documented their address and phone numbers, and I explained in there that I did it passingly because I'm regularly in the court. As I said, I'm in this building 2 to 3 times a week. I regularly see attorneys in motion calls in front of Your Honor and on the second floor, and every attorney that knows me knows that during that time I've asked about this case, and they all know about it because they all know what happened to me, and they all know that I was desperate to get an attorney in there. Now, Your Honor, that concerns me why he was so skeptical. I'd like, you know, there's nothing in the record that shows any contradiction or anything that refutes my evidence. So I really think that reaches the level of clearly erroneous. But whether you agree with me or not, this court's prior decision to reinstate me to the case becomes meaningless if the case is gone, if the case has been dismissed. And what's the purpose of this court reinstating me to the case? So, Your Honors, I'm going to reserve the remainder of my time for a rebuttal if I need to. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Salen. Mr. Thill?
May it please the court, Brian Thill on behalf of the bank defendant, Appellee. This case is about decisions made by Tradewell, not by Attorney Salem, but decisions by Tradewell that Tradewell now has to learn to live with after the fact and express them and take some accountability for that. For example, in this instance, Tradewell was the initiator of the lawsuit. It's the plaintiff. Thought about it ahead of time, where we're going to file suit, whether we're going to file suit, what we're going to file suit about. It's a sophisticated company. It handpicked a lawyer out of the hundreds or thousands of lawyers in the country. In this instance, was admitted pro hac vice, could have picked virtually any lawyer in the company. Had opportunity once Mr. Salem was temporarily removed from the case. According to the affidavit of Mohammed Tahrir, they were aware of the removal of Attorney Salem immediately, and they had money to procure counsel, is what was testified to. They did not obtain interim counsel. They did not obtain. They did not make a recusal request until after the fact, after Attorney Salem was successful on his appeal, and worst of all, at the end of the day, while they're behind the eight ball and their lawyer is removed, they put the lawyer who got them into that mess right back in charge of the effort to head up to locate additional counsel. And as Mr. Salem mentioned before, the first 10 or 11 lawyers, I think he said, regarding, oh, I sent them everything, all the emails right away. There were 3 weeks prior to the hearing in which the court, when we speak about invitations, the court in this case gave Tradewell a roadmap on how to prove its case, how to get the judgment vacated. Bring in evidence. Show me your exhibits. Exactly four exhibits were presented. One by some chicken scratch notes, a business card of an individual, a lawyer that this is the infamous chance encounter at the gas station down in Illinois, and some testimony regarding some notes handwritten in his son's spiral notebook. If there are so many emails, why weren't any of those presented? If there were so many lawyers, and Mr. Salem can presume those attorneys' thoughts before regarding what they thought about the court's decision, why weren't any affidavits or testimony from those lawyers regarding, hey, this is what I thought? That never occurred. And similarly, regarding jurisdiction, the plaintiff, again, initiated the suit. The court doesn't lose jurisdiction. Plaintiff was properly served with the pleadings thereafter on at least six different occasions. That satisfies Federal Rule of Procedure 5, and it also satisfies the Hague Service Convention, which Pakistan did not opt out of. And then finally, regarding this court's alleged mandate in the prior case, the court's decision is not meaningless in that case. The court's decision reinstated Attorney Salem. There were other issues other than simply reinstating him back to that case or vacating that sanction. There was a monetary sanction. There were also other referrals to other state bars. That is not a meaningless decision, particularly for Attorney Salem to have that result vacated. And for all these reasons, the court should adopt the district court's decision in toto and affirm it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Thill. Mr. Salem, anything further?
Your Honor, just one point. The record shows that Tradewell itself, other agents, Omar Paracha, and other owners of the company also made attempts to find counsel. It wasn't just me. They went to the embassy and other things. But unless there's any other questions, I have nothing else to add.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.